Chris Matthews is in our studios. The host of Hardball has a new book which holds a compelling figure up to the light of history, which may move us to wonder if Americans permit their politicians to change their minds, learn and grow along the trail. His book, Bobby Kennedy, A Raging Spirit. Chris, thanks for joining us this morning.
Scott, thank you.
We will talk about your book, but you're in the news business, and you know, first question has to be, you know Matt Lauer. Any idea he was abusing women or behaving that way?
Maybe this seems odd to believe, but men, I don't think, talk about these things with other men. I mean, I know all these cases like you and everyone listening, and they come as a surprise even to people who know them. And when I like think about a Charlie Rose, I think, well, can you shorten the question a little bit, you know? And when I think about Matt, you got that Humphrey Bogart upper lip, and you ask the tough question, yet people like you. How do you do that? How do you seem so tough and likable? I look at them professionally. I look at Charlie Rose, I say, when do you sleep? I mean, he was doing the morning show, getting up at 5 in the morning, doing the night show, he tapes, but having this social life on the East Side, how does he, and I heard that he sleeps at 4 different places and he gets a few hours sleep here and there. That's the level in which I understood Charlie. I also wondered why he never got married and, you know, those kind of things. But, you know, I don't think men brag about, why would you brag about using your power for sex or even romance? I don't think people talk about that.
So were men in powerful positions in the media willfully blind? Did they laugh it off? Did they? Why doesn't it register?
I don't know, because in each case they were dealing with individual people who were cognizant, who have memories and feelings and anger. And in every case, they were creating a problem.
Yeah. Let's ask about your book about Robert F. Kennedy. What makes his story timely now? I know you've been working on it for a long time, but what do you think he has to say to this generation?
I think unity. I think of the train tracks in New Jersey and that grim June day in 1968 when his body was taken down from St. Patrick's in New York down to Arlington to join his brother. And the people who spontaneously showed up along the tracks, the African Americans of Baltimore who began to sing, and this was something that had never happened in America. They began to sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. They'd learned at church. They knew all the verses. And that spontaneous regard, and then the white, poor white people, I mean, really dirt poor white people saluting him as a patriotic compatriot, someone they had an affection for in a patriotic sense. I think that was something we really need today, that unity.
Well, as you write in the book, though, for much of his public life, he was derided as ruthless.
Yeah.
His brother's hatchet man. How did he?
He was all those things.
Did his brother's death, in a sense, liberate him to seek a new identity, to travel, to get to know and reflect the world?
I think that shook him deep to his soul. But I think the other thing that happened was his father's stroke. He had to get his father off his back. Mm-hmm. Joe Kennedy Sr. was a formidable but, I think, menacing figure in his life who took a sweet young seventh-born who he had called a runt and encouraged him to become tough and ruthless, first a jock at Harvard, getting his letter with a broken leg, and then becoming this enforcer for his brother. That's what won, finally, the attention of the old man. And only when he was tough did the old man respect him. And I think when his father became incapacitated, Bobby began to resort to who he was as a kid. As a kid, he hung around all the time with African American kids. Those were his playmates, even at Hyannis. Mm-hmm. Father Feeney, when Father Feeney said no salvation outside the Catholic Church, he railed against that, which was so extraordinary in that very Catholic family. Ralph Bunche, he insisted that great African American statesman get to speak to a integrated audience at UVA when he was in charge of the lecture series down there. There's all kinds of evidence of Bobby in the beginning being a liberal in the best sense of that word. And I think it just came more to life after Jack was gone and after the old man was out of action.
Will American voters these days, and donors and journalists for that matter, let a public figure change in public the way Robert Kennedy did?
Well, I think the hardest thing for him, and to me the sweetest part of the book, was his evolution on Joe McCarthy. There's no doubt that he loved the guy. It came through right to the end when he was driving in the car at National Airport and Kathleen, his young daughter, said he was so stricken by the news that McCarthy had just drank himself to death at Bethesda Naval Hospital, mm-hmm. that he drove around the airport three times. He was just distraught. And he ended up sneaking off to the funeral and the burial site to try to protect his brother. But he did come out against him. He wrote the resolution against him, and he tried very manfully to avoid committing those mistakes when he ran the Rackets Committee.
Okay. Chris Matthews, thanks so much for being with us. His book is Bobby Kennedy, Raging Spirit. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Scott.